was able to meet with the pastor briefly. He's very ill, but did want to talk for a while, so he got out and we had a good talk. And he's on his journey. And so, anything else we need to be in prayer concerning that come up? Yes.
Rebecca and her husband David are taking a job with the church in New Mexico, and they'll be leading their team.
Well, that.
We're lost crucified.
Okay.
All
right. What does he do? Okay. Very good. Okay. Let's be in prayer. What's his name?
David.
So David, Rebecca. So let's be in prayer for them. When do they leave? Now, are you requesting prayer for them or for the church? Yeah, David and Rebecca and the church. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to ask that we continue to be in prayer for my dad.
Absolutely.
Mainly that he continues to be prodded by the Holy Spirit for it all, and him and not his own strength.
Yeah, and it's just very very difficult for men like Larry because they're very been very self energy and everything all their life, and so that's a good prayer request. And yes, let's be in prayer for Larry, and in regard to the ministry of the Holy Spirit working, convicting on him. Yes, sir.
My son in California, still, I'd like to pray in prayer for you and his wife.
Okay. All right. I'm glad he's staying out there right now. It just seems like that's a good thing right now. Yeah. Okay. Need to be in prayer. Okay. Let's prepare ourselves then for us, continue our study. There's just so many, the book is just filled with so many things to study and to become aware of, but from beginning to end, I know of no subject more important than seeing and understanding the love of God. A lot of people will talk about love, this love, from the liberal standpoint and never really understand it, but we'll use the word and talk about it. Therefore, it becomes so important that we allow the Spirit to open our eyes as to what this love really is and what it means when it says that God is love, what all that involves and entails, and how that helps us to understand and guides us in understanding so many other areas of Scripture. Very few people understand love, especially in the world in which you and I live in today. Our homes, so many homes, are devoid of love, too busy, too occupied with self, too many demands in a busy society, always working, always doing, and therefore with free time one might have, very possessive of it. And therefore love becomes very difficult. And I'm sad to say that many people never do understand and learn, even in the human realm, what really love is about. And the only place that some people will ever see and understand love is if they ever get to the point of walking in the Spirit by faith. And even then, you have to be there and start watching it develop as Christ is formed in you, which takes time for that to happen. And this is the beginning of my great journey in my own life, is when we first started studying love, spiritual love, a long time ago, and going back over it because all of our tapes are gone for various reasons, and to be able to go back and look at things, some verses, same verses, but what the Holy Spirit has done for me in these new verses, in these same verses and in new verses, I'm very thankful for. So let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes as to what this love is, because it is beyond understanding. We don't know what this love is. It is beyond understanding, and yet it is something that the Holy Spirit gives us a glimpse of, and actually He pours it through and has it come through us to one another, to God, and even to ourselves. And so we have to go on this journey. And a major part of this journey is the journey of this life that very few Christians will ever truly understand. And the only way we can understand it is if the Spirit will open our eyes and take us there. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer. What is the prayer? Testing yourself to see if you are in proper faith relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, so that He can open our eyes and so that He can show us what He would have us to see. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to spend a few moments together tonight and to examine this love. If there is one thing, Father, that man has needed from the very beginning and will always need through all eternity, it is to be the benefactor of your love. So we pray now, Father, that your Spirit will continue to take us on this journey and open our eyes and make us aware of who and what you are. And tonight, Father, that we might look at the pattern of this love, that we might imitate him, that this love will flow through us. We pray these things now, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. We can't do love. You can't say, I'm going to love another believer as per the new commandment, which says to love one another as I love you. We can't not, our decision is not to make up our mind about love. We do not make up our mind to love. What we have to make up our mind to do is to walk in the Spirit. No one can produce this love. You can't say, I'm going to love, now let me figure out what love is and I will do it. That's not our decision. We saw this in Galatians. We had a long list of sins in the book of Galatians, and that was followed by, and those were the fruit of the flesh. They were the way that the flesh worked. And then there were some 15 categories and listing of sins. And then we saw the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And topping the fruit of the Holy Spirit was this love that we're in the midst of looking at. Now, what happens with so many of these categories of sins, immorality, sensuality, idolatry, on and on and on, all these things, dissensions and judgments and all these things. What Christians want to do is, okay, if you have a problem here, you've got to really work on this problem. Here's your problem. People, that is not your problem. Let's say that a person has what the world would call a problem in the area of drunkenness, because that's one of them. So what the world says, the Christian world says you've got to do is you really got to work on drunkenness. No, you don't. This is why the church is in such great failure, and this is why the church has to go to the secular world to help it. Because when you decide to work on some problem, you have to go to the secular world where they go in and they study and they make a lot of rules and have a lot of things on what you got to do. This isn't what to do. You just say, okay, what's the source of this? The source of this is the flesh. This is where I've got to concentrate on. Who's going to run my life? Is it going to be the flesh or is it going to be the Holy Spirit? Then we come to the fruit of the Spirit, like love. Inner peace, joy, inner joy, inner happiness, kindness, patience, self-discipline, all these things. So what we say is, okay, we're going to work on these things in our life. No, you don't work on making these things come about in your life. You don't work on being kind. I'm going to be kind and I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on inner happiness, and I'm going to make it happen. No, our decision is a decision about the Holy Spirit. Our decision is not a decision about love or joy or peace or kindness. Our decision is a decision about the third member of the Godhead. Am I going to trust Him to produce this in me? Now, In the new commandment, we are told to love one another as Jesus Christ loved you. Okay. This changes the whole deal from loving one another as you love yourself. Because now we have to concentrate on Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ loves me, rather than how I love myself. It's as Christ loved me. And what we're looking at now, and let's continue tonight, we're looking at the manner in which Jesus Christ loved, the manner in which Jesus Christ produced this love. Where did Jesus Christ get this love wherewith he has loved us? Where did he get? Did he produce this love? Did the humanity of Jesus Christ produce the love that Jesus Christ loved us with? No. This love was given to him by God the Holy Spirit. So let's continue now in that working, and we have taken up the first four points, and this is one of those few times we do want to go through some points, and so let's quickly go over the first four and then pick it up where we left off last Tuesday evening. One, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ loved. And that's where we're going to start off. We saw this in Luke chapter 4, other places. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ loved. The Holy Spirit caused or produced the love that came from the humanity of Jesus Christ. So it was God, as it were, it was God, the Holy Spirit, pouring this love in the God-man, Jesus Christ. He made a decision to rely on the Holy Spirit, not on himself, to produce this love. Then point two, therefore, if you desire to love as Christ loved, then you make a decision about the Holy Spirit, just as Christ did. He made a decision to let the Holy Spirit lead him and guide him. Therefore, our decision, if you want to love as Christ loved, if you want to fulfill the new commandment, you do not make a decision about love. You make a decision about the third member of the Godhead, the second standing of God. Am I going to trust him? Am I going to be led by him? One of the verses we looked at this point last week was 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him, abides in Christ. The believer who says he abides in Christ ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Now, this is one of those things about John. John doesn't go any further. It's like you must be born from above. How? You this begs. The one who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. How did he walk? John doesn't say. So we have to look. And how did Jesus Christ walk? Jesus Christ walked depending on God the Holy Spirit to guide him and to pour in this love. Point three, Jesus Christ therefore set the precedent, the pattern for our lives, for our love, how we're going to love. If we want to love as Christ loved, if you want to love one another as Christ loved, then we got to follow him. And he set the precedent, the pattern on how we are going to love. In fact, he set the precedent on how we're going to do everything. He set the pattern, how we're going to learn Scripture, how we're going to utilize Scripture, how we're going to do any and everything. We're going to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit as he was. Walking by the Holy Spirit means that we do not walk by the law. Most Christians walk by law. No, we don't walk by law. Most Christians walk by flesh, trying to do what's right. No, we walk by the Spirit. Or, this means that if we are filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, then like Jesus Christ, we are not led by law, we're not under the law. The law has no authority over our life. Don't even look at the law for anything, any kind of standard, anything. The law is dead to us. And that's so important because most Christians live by the law. And when you look and study Jesus Christ's earthly life, people, one of the biggest mistakes that people do when they study Christology or Christ's time on earth is that they study Christ in reference to the law. You can't do that. They want to put, oh, he did the law here, and he didn't break the law there. Everything was done. No. He walked by the Spirit. He walked by the Holy Spirit. This is what he did. Point five. Very important now. Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Spirit as to where he was to walk, where he was to go, how he was to love, what he would do in regard to individuals at any given moment. He did not walk by a rigid law. He walked by the Holy Spirit. His life was flexible and adaptable. People, that's what spiritual love is. Spiritual love is flexible and adaptable. That's why you can't make laws with about it. This is what love will look like in every given circumstance, in a family, in a husband and wife relationship, at work, in an assembly of believers, whatever the case may be. You can't do that. Spiritual love is so dynamic. Spiritual love is so flexible that it doesn't look the same in any and every case. So there are no rigid rules. There are people who love a life of rigid rules. There are people who wanna walk and want a plan of God that is rigid, and boy, they know exactly what to do, and doctrine guides them, and law guides them, and their list guides them, and they never get there. They never get there. Because people, if you walk in the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And not everybody can live under liberty. All we have to do is look at the political realm of liberty, and we can understand some of the things in the spiritual realm. Look at Russia today. I don't think, and we just talk about it, that they would ever be able to live in liberty. But you and I understand it's liberty. It takes a mentality. It takes a kind of people to live in liberty. Many Americans are demonstrating over the last 100 years that many Americans do not want to live in liberty. They prefer that the government take care of them from the womb to the grave. The government take care of me. It's a rare breed that just wants that liberty. I'll take responsibility for my own life. There are a lot of Americans that don't like liberty because there are so many failures, so many failed marriages. There are so many failed lives, in the normal sense of thinking of a failed life. Okay, let's pass some laws, and we can. Let's set up a society where there will be no divorce. There will be nobody failed. There'll be no difference in standards of living. There'll be nothing. We can control everything if that's what we want in the society. But if you're going to have liberty, it's just like we saw in Galatians 5, but use your liberty to serve one another in love. You have been set free in Christ, but use your liberty to serve one another in love. What does that mean? It means I can use my liberty, my spiritual liberty, to serve myself. Or you can use it to walk in the Spirit. So the thing I want us to see here is that the dynamics of this life, there are no rigid rules that are the same for everyone. No two believers are necessarily going to be led in exactly the same way. We could take two believers in almost identical situations, and the Holy Spirit lead one to go in one way and one to go an entirely different way, and both be right in being led of the Spirit and what they ought to do. And we look at that and we go, how can that be? Is the Holy Spirit confused here? The Holy Spirit not know what to do here? He's got one person voting one way and one person voting another way. I know preachers that say, boy, if it's the same Spirit, we're all going to vote the same way on everything. You don't understand liberty. You don't understand the journey that different believers are on, that each believer is on, not different, that each believer is on. It's so hard to. Because I can sit here and rationalize, well, if it's the same Holy Spirit and a believer is led, then all believers will be led the same way by that same Spirit. Until we understand where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say is that this love is not some rigid rule. It's not always going to look the same the way that you might want it to always look. You will discover that even when it appears, what appears as similar circumstances, believers are led in different ways. Rarely, in fact, are two believers led in exactly the same way in different circumstances. There's just so many things that are involved, the journey that a believer's on, their spiritual, where they are spiritually in their spiritual battle of faith. We'll have a great deal to do here. Spiritual gifts have something to do here. God's plan for that believer has something to do here. So many different things are going on in the journey of faith. And so it is with our love. How love is expressed and what love looks like. Don't try to build some rules and how it's always going to be. This is why it's vital that we always be walking by the Spirit by faith. To be led of the Holy Spirit. Not by outward signs. Not by putting together doctrine, circumstances, what other people say. What a lot of Christians do? They put together a lot of tea leaves, and then I can read the tea leaves. And I'll know what God wants me to do. And you throw up all these tea leaves, circumstance, doctrine, what other people say, what looks good, what sounds reasonable, common sense. Throw in all these tea leaves, and now let's read the tea leaves. Because I don't believe that God will just lead me. I want to know what love is going to look like in any given circumstance. We don't know what it's going to look like. We have to trust Him to lead us. Point six. The responsibility of the believer, the obedience of the believer, is the same as it was for the humanity of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ walked on planet Earth, especially the 3 years of public ministry, He made one decision, and that decision was total dependence on the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ made a decision to totally rely on the Holy Spirit to guide Him. He made a decision when He decided to walk and to live, to be led, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, remember a passage to Luke 4, and Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led about by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus Christ was full of doctrine. He had all of this understanding. But He made a decision, people. He made a decision to relinquish all of that and to rely on the Spirit. Now, you and I don't make a decision not to use our deity because we're not God, but we make a decision not to use our ugly flesh. We make a decision to set our flesh aside and walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to pour in this love. Jesus Christ made a decision to set aside His deity and to allow the Spirit to guide Him. That's why that passive voice, being led, was so important. The grace voice, subject receives, being led by God, the Holy Spirit. But when we take it back, when we choose to do it our way, when we try to put everything together, and I've decided what to do here, and all of these types of things, see, that's when we see how ugly we are. And we know we're ugly. We decide not to trust the Spirit, but to take things in our own hands. The passive voice says, we receive this love from the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we say, I don't even care about love, I'm going to do what I want to do. The indicative mood, so important, which we have not studied in this word being led. And I just want to emphasize it for a moment. When we talk about the indicative mood, this is the mood of reality. And this is why I say to you, people, you have to decide for yourself. And only you can decide this. Nobody can decide it for you. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will pour this love in you? That God supernaturally can pour this love in you? And nobody else can make that decision for you but you. Or do you have to learn doctrine? Do you have to make conscious effort and analyze and make this thing happen? Or do you firmly believe that God supernaturally, spiritually pours in this love? And everybody has to make their own mind. And how you answer that question is your whole view of how you're going to live and your whole view about this love. If you say, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit can just supernaturally pour in this love, then it behooves you to make it happen. What does that sound like? That sounds like Abraham making a son happen, Ishmael. And people, you will produce Ishmael. You will produce a lot. Every human being can produce it. And what this love will look like, it'll look like Ishmael. And most Christians are happy. Most Christians are satisfied with Ishmael. They're satisfied with the love that they produce. That their organization, their denomination, their list, what they understand, and they're going to make this love happen. Or do you believe that if you just walk, you have the hope, this hope of love, that if you just walk in the Spirit, that He will pour this love in you. And what is going to happen here is Isaac. Isaac comes forth. What I mean by Isaac? The love that the Holy Spirit produces comes through. It's a vital question. And every Christian has to somewhere make up their mind, do I believe that I make this love happen, I understand it, and I produce it? And you can. And church history is filled with the Ishmael. A love that looks like Ishmael. It is rarely seen the love that looks like Isaac. The love that came just by faith, just by trusting God. So the indicative mood is the mood of reality. The reality of the ministry of the Holy Spirit guiding us and pouring in this love. The reality of the empowering ministry of the Spirit. So the first thing you really have to decide is really not even a decision about the new commandment. To love one another as I have loved you. First decision that you and I really make is a decision about the third member of the Godhead. And where did we learn that pattern already? The first decision that every one of us had to make was a decision about God Himself. Does God exist? Every one of us has to make it. Different ages. Some 6, some 7, 8, 9, maybe some even before 6 in our society. But we have to make this decision. Then we come to the understanding and make a decision about the second member of the Godhead as the way, faith in Him to come to God the Father. Now, you have to make another decision. Having made a decision about Jesus Christ as my Savior by faith, now you have to make a decision about the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Can He produce this love in me? Will He produce this love in me if I just trust Him? So, all the way through, and this is beautiful, all the way through, our responsibility is a decision about God. Do I believe in God? Do I believe in God? Do I believe in God? Do I believe God? Yes. Do I believe in His Son as the way to Him? Do I believe in His Spirit to lead and to guide me and to pour this love in me? What have we seen about faith? Faith is a relationship. Faith is a relationship word with God, between God and creatures. See, between man, love is a relationship word. Not faith or trust, but love. We have love between members of the human race and family and relationships. But between creatures, material, flesh, and creator, immaterial, spiritual, what is the relationship word? How can the immaterial, how can the flesh, how can the creature have a relationship with the Creator? By faith. It's our relationship word. Yeah, I trust it. God got to take. Now there's a relationship. So we have that with all three members of the Godhead. So we trust Him to do these things, to produce this in us. To love as Christ loved means that you've made a decision about the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love was not, and I'm going to make this as strong as I can now. It will offend some believers. It will prick at some Christians. To love as Christ loved means that you must be filled with the Spirit. Spiritual love was not of or by Jesus Christ. Spiritual love was not of or by Jesus Christ, but by the Holy Spirit. And that is so important. Because if you say no, that the person of Jesus Christ produced His own love, then He didn't depend on the Holy Spirit, and therefore we can't imitate that. So I want to make this as almost offensive, but very important. spiritual love was not of or by Jesus Christ, but by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ did not make a decision to love. He made a decision to be filled with the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit in his life. And that's Jesus Christ. How much more you and me? He did not make a decision to love. When Jesus Christ was on earth, the humanity of Jesus Christ was on earth, he did not make a decision to love. He made a decision about the third member of the Godhead who was given to him. And we've studied the passages all through the Old Testament. I, the Father, have laid my Spirit upon him in many different places, especially in the book of Isaiah. God the Father gave the Holy Spirit. Anointed is the Greek and Hebrew word. He anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. This is how he did it. So this love that we're talking about was not produced by Jesus Christ. It came through Christ. But it was not produced by him. And therefore, you and I have to make the same decision that he did. It was the Holy Spirit who poured this love into Jesus Christ. And therefore, again, is what I call it, spiritual love. This love was not of the humanity of Christ. This love that we're to imitate, now listen carefully, I'm not saying the deity is not love, but this love was not of the deity of Jesus Christ. This love was not of his deity. It was not of his humanity. This love was by the Holy Spirit who indwelled Christ and empowered Christ and poured this love into Christ. Now, of course, the deity of Christ is love. But I'm talking about the humanity of Christ. When he walked here on earth, he did not depend on deity. And now you and I can make that same decision that he did. So let's don't react to the fact that Jesus didn't produce this love. It is not his love. It's not of Jesus Christ. Let's understand it and how wonderful it really is, how fantastic this is, not only for him, but for us. He showed us how we can have this love. So let's don't react. And there'll be people who will react to that. Oh, no, Jesus said. No, he didn't. And the more that we can understand this and just relax, we'll see how really beautiful and how fantastic this is for ourselves. That he did not produce this love, but he depended on the Holy Spirit. This is why you and I can do it. Here you and I. In our lives. Whatever we do, all the jobs represented here, all the homes, school, everything you and I do, we can produce the same love that caused... Look at the love that you and I can produce. We can produce the same love that caused God to become man and that caused the God-man to go to the cross. Let's talk about things before. That caused this God-man to get down and wash feet, feed people, do all the things. We could just go on and on and on with the illustration. And the same love that caused him to offer himself up on a cross, you have that same love in you, the potential of that same love. In your own home, this love is there. The same. We could sit here and talk about all we want to about the love that Christ demonstrated on the cross, and I will say to you, no matter what you say about it, that same love is in you, potentially, in your home, at your work, in your social life, in the church, wherever you go. That same love that put him on the cross is present for the world to see how God loves. So this is why we can do it, because we have that same Holy Spirit in us. This is why John 14 is so important. I give you the Holy Spirit. I leave you the Holy Spirit. I'm leaving, but I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And this is really great, because now that I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit, and I have to leave before I can leave you, give you the Holy Spirit, but now that you have the Holy Spirit, now... 2 Corinthians chapter 3, now the Lord, your Lord, is your Spirit. Not me, I'm gone up here. I'm still your Lord. When I say not me, I don't mean he ceases to be. God the Father is our Lord, God the Son is our Lord. But now the Spirit is our Lord. And now when we walk with him, we can produce spiritual life. We can produce the same life. This is powerful. And one of the reasons the church lacks this is because so many Christians, they look, of Jesus Christ, see what he did, and then what they say is, we can do that. We can do that. No, you can't. And this is what most of the church is trying to do. They're trying to imitate him. They're trying to figure it out and do what he did. You can't do that. We have to walk by the Holy Spirit. That's what he did. If Jesus Christ willed of his own desire to love, then people, we can't do it. If Jesus Christ out of his deity produced the love, then we can't do it. But he chose to do it simply by faith, and we can do it. We can do that. Many Christians say, I'm going to make it happen. I can make it happen. Just as they try to make happiness happen. You know, when you start realizing and you try to start making happiness and love is joy and peace, inner peace, this is when you and I really start coming to the reality, I can't do it. This is when we really start coming to the fact, I can't. I'm bankrupt. And this church that has been telling me, and this movement, and all the rest of it, this isn't working. I can't produce this love. Now you're ready. So you're going to stumble, be broken, take a snare, and now maybe you'll come back over here to grace, which says, just trust me. Just trust the one I sent, and I'll give you. I'll give you this love. I'll give you the happiness. I'll give you the peace. I'll give you the inner peace if you want. I'll just give it to you. Divorce of circumstances. Divorce of everything. If you just trust me. That's grace. But most Christians are dead set on making it happen. Abraham, I'm going to make it happen. I am going to make the promise happen. I was promised a son, and I'm going to make it happen. And boy, he made it happen. But it wasn't the son of faith. It wasn't the son of promise, the one that he was given. So we make a decision, I'm going to make this happen, and then we try to make it happen, just like Abraham tried to make it happen. And it isn't going to work. Jesus Christ made a decision, and that decision was to allow the Spirit to make these things happen. Make spiritual love flow through him. Men, after completing his work, after completing the purpose of the first sending, it's just we stay right here with the cross, after completing the work of the first sending by God, and this is so important, our study of the two sendings of God, most Christians will not get beyond the first ending. They're stuck, bogged down. Bogged down in, and I just got to make it this way, just bogged down in Jesus. They're just bogged down there. And they never get to him. Because they never get on to the second sending. After completing the work, purpose, of the first sending, which was to provide salvation, to be a demonstration for us, be a pattern on how we're to live, to provide all of these things for us, and after doing all of that, he departed. He got out of here. He went back to the Father. And I don't blame him. He went back to the Father, departed. But he sent to us the Holy Spirit. I'll not leave you alone. I'll not leave you as orphans. He left us. He did something absolutely wonderful when he went back to the Father. Out of his love for us, he made it possible for us to produce the same love that was in him. Out of his love, he went to the Father and he asked God the Father, he said, hey, send him the same Spirit that you gave me. Because all the way through, the presidents were said, God the Father, that's why we spent the time in Isaiah and in passages in the Old Testament. I have set my Spirit on him. I have anointed him with my Spirit. And now the Father has sent me and his Spirit. Very important, those two together. And then Jesus Christ goes up and he says, Father, give it to them. Give the Spirit to those whom you have given to me. God the Father said, okay, I'll send the second sending. There's the first sending, I will send the second sending. And people, there is no love if you don't get to the second sending in the text. No one's going to love if you stay here in the first sending and you never get to the second sending, you're never going to get to this love. You're never going to have this love a reality. So he sent us the same Spirit to make it possible for us to produce the same love that was in him. And unfortunately, many Christians like to talk about Jesus Christ building them mansions in heaven. You know, I've noticed Christians are hung up on prophecy, the end of time. They're hung up on, boy, Jesus Christ is building a mansion. And they never get to what Jesus Christ did for us now. And what he did for us now, he gave to us his Spirit. We're studying in John 4 the prophecy of the church that most Christians never get to. The first prophecy about the church is a prophecy about the Holy Spirit to a Gentile immoral woman who was ready to hear it and ready to accept it. Wasn't to the disciples who were not ready. Certainly wasn't to the religious crowd, the Pharisees and the scribes and all of those in the temple. Wasn't even in Jerusalem. It was at a well to an immoral Gentile woman. He talked about the sending of the Spirit. The first prophecy of the church by Jesus Christ involves the Holy Spirit. So this becomes so significant if we can just allow ourselves to let go of so many things that we hold on to and see what Christ is doing. Now we can produce this love. We have the same indwelling of the Holy Spirit that he had. Now all we have to do is make the same decision that Jesus Christ made. And that's a decision about the Holy Spirit. To trust him, to lead us, to guide us, and to pour this love into us. We cannot love as Christ loved when we rely on ourselves, on the flesh, on the energy of the flesh, on us doing these things. We have to be just like he is, depend on the third member of the Godhead. This love, spiritual love, is not of Jesus Christ. It is of the Holy Spirit. And this means that you can love as Christ loved. Let me give you three things. Let's note historical procedure. One, Jesus Christ was himself. Jesus Christ was himself empowered by the, or indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we'll use the word filled with the Spirit. And that's in our Luke 4 passage. Guided by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit. And loved by the Spirit. Meaning not love, not the Spirit loved him, but he produced love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Point two. Then before he left, he commanded a new commandment that we all love as he did. So first of all, he himself loved by the power of the Spirit. Then he commanded that we love as he loved in the new commandment. Three, then he made it possible. Then he made it possible for us to obey that commandment, to fulfill the new commandment, to love as he did. Look with me at John 14. John chapter 14. Shouldn't be too long. We get back here and get into these things. But look at John 14, verse 15. John 14, 15. So if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, what are his commandments? His commandments are faith and love. But we cannot obey any commandment, people, by the energy of the flesh. Now, verse 16. And I will ask the Father. Okay, here's a relationship between Jesus Christ and the Father now. He has gone topside. I will. Future. When? When he departs earth. This is why it's so wonderful that Christ left. It is wonderful that he left. And Christ is going to say that at the end of the chapter. If you understood everything, you would have been very happy that I said I'm leaving. Look at verse 28. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. Oh, people, we're being so sidetracked. We're being hit from the side like a quarterback. But it sounds so good. All this stuff about Jesus. But we're being hit. The Lordship of Jesus. People, he came to take us to the Father. And the Father is greater. He came to give us the Spirit. The Spirit's greater. Let's don't lose track of what's going on in our own relationships with the members of the Godhead. And this will not take away anything from Jesus Christ. This is Him talking to us. The Father's greater. The Spirit's greater. So, in this, if we had understood it, now let's go back to verse 16. And I will ask the Father. All right, He is departed. I will ask. That's after the crucifixion, and then the burial, and then the resurrection, and then 50 days, and then He goes out, boom, and He's going to ask the Father something that will happen 10 days hence. I will ask the Father, and He, God the Father, will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. Oh, that's so beautiful, because what did Jesus Christ do? He left us. He came, provided redemptive salvation, and He left us. But we're never going to be left by God again. I'm going to give you a third member of the Godhead. People, this is for all eternity. Resurrected body, you're going to have the third member of the Godhead. He will never leave you. You're always going to have this third member of the Godhead to guide. Now, there are many great things in this verse, and we'll have to come back and study them slowly. But first of all, the relationship between Jesus Christ, the humanity of Christ, and God the Father. And people, you and I can have the same relationship with the Father that He had. And you know, no. He had something. No. You can have the same relationship with the Father. You are sons in God by faith in Christ. Now note the maximum respect that Jesus Christ has for the authority of God the Father. I will ask the Father. And this is what we do. We ask the Father. Note the confidence that Jesus Christ has with God the Father that He will answer. Look what He says. And He will. Yes. I hope you see it. The relationship, respect of authority, but the confidence also of that relationship. He'll give it. This is something that He will do. It doesn't say, I will ask the Father to give you. It says, I will ask the Father and He will do it. He will give you this. And now make the request. Jesus Christ knows there is no way we can love as He loved. For as yet, we do not have the church, the disciples here, do not have the Holy Spirit. So, motivated by His love, 13:1, motivated by His love for us, He makes this request. And He, God the Father, will give you, future, active, indicative, God the Father will give to every believer in the church age the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Future. This is the beginning of the church and all the way through the church, so that when every one of you accepted Christ, when every one of us in this room have accepted Christ as Savior by faith, how does one become a Christian? Just simply, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as my Savior. I believe Jesus Christ is the way to God. That's all. You mean I don't have to do this? No. All we have to do is simply by faith. It's simply by trusting the one whom God has sent. Now, when you do that, God the Father did something to you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Now, I've given many other things, but that's one of the things that He did. He gave to us the Holy Spirit. So, this is after future tense, after the resurrection, after the ascension, after the session. What's the session? That's what we're studying in our communion series, where Jesus Christ, the high priest, is what? Seated at the right hand of the Father. We saw that in Hebrews 8, just Sunday. That's the session, being seated in this temple. I say He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Look at John 7:39 a moment. Let's go back to chapter 7. John is so powerful. I love it. John 7, and let's look at verse 39. John 7:39. Now, to see what He's talking about, let's go to 38. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture says, from his innermost being. Now, that's every one of you here who have accepted Christ as Savior by faith. From his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. What is He talking about? Well, this is one of the times John tells us. Look at verse 39. But this He spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, glorified, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, entering into that temple, presenting himself as a superior sacrifice, superior gift, and now God the Father can bless. So, now every believer can have the Holy Spirit. And people, there is this flowing water, living water inside of us, and that water is a picture of the spiritual life that we are in the midst of talking about and in the midst of studying. So, the glorifying, everything in the church age centers around this glory. And people just love this glory. This is why I told you that I must decrease and he increase. We decrease when we walk by faith, because faith says, I can do nothing, therefore I trust you. He increases when love flows through us, because what the world sees now is him, not me, not you. They see his love. And if the world sees the love of Christ, whose love are they seeing? God's. Exactly. Even they are taken beyond even Jesus Christ to God, who is greater than Jesus Christ. Just gotta keep things in perspective, because it'll make us sound like, you know, the world makes it sound like if you said, well, God the Father is greater than Jesus Christ, oh, you said something horrible. Well, Christ said it, fortunately. Makes it very clear and very easy for us now. He said it for us. So, makes this thing very easy. Future, after the glorification, death, resurrection, ascension, session, act of voice, God the Father will grant the request. In fact, we have some passages where it says the Father will send the Spirit, some passages where the Son will send the Spirit. The indicative mood, he will give the reality of the giving of the Holy Spirit. The reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's all up to you. It's all up to me to make a decision about the Holy Spirit. God the Father, let me show you how simple this is. God the Father made a decision in the first sending to send his Son. Now it's all up to us. Will you trust him? Will you trust him for salvation? Then he made a decision on the second sending to send his Spirit. Will you trust him? It's that simple. Will you trust him? That's the only decision you and I've got to make. We make a decision about the Son. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Make a decision about, yes, I believe the Holy Spirit is my what? My Savior. He's the Savior in our life. I believe in He is my sanctification. He is the source of my love. He is the one that's going to produce inner joy, inner peace. You want inner peace. People you don't think about inner peace. You're related to the person who supplies the inner peace. I used to talk peace, and boy, you got to be occupied with peace and all that kind of stuff. How wrong? What's the source of that peace? The source of the peace is the Holy Spirit. You have a relationship with Him, and He will slowly pour in this inner peace. He'll slowly pour in this inner joy. This is what He does. This is how He functions. And He, God the Father, will graciously give to you, every believer in the church age, another helper. Another, the Greek very simply means another of the same kind. Okay, another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. Okay, that means there's already been one. Who's the first one? Jesus Christ. So here's the first sending, here's the second sending. They're different, but they're similar people. They're different, but they're similar. So the first one is the first sending. And as I said, most Christians never get to the second sending. They're stuck in the first sending. And I want us to get on to the second sending, because when you get to the second sending, then you're going to imitate the love of the first. And what is that going to do? It's going to reveal and glorify the love of the Father, which is why we're here. You want a relationship with God the Father? You're not going to have it until you have a relationship, a faith relationship, with the second sending, God the Holy Spirit. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, once again, to come to the reality of who and what you are. Once again, Heavenly Father, we see you. You have sent your Son, who has given to us your Spirit, who brings us to you. Father, we want the love of Christ's love. We want to receive this love. We want to be benefactors of this love. And we want this love to come through. And we find, Father, it's the same way if we just trust the one you've given to us. And therefore, Father, we come face to face that the battle is faith. The battle is not love. The battle is not loving or receiving love. The battle is simply trusting in the one you have sent. We praise you, Father, for who and what you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen.